Well, hello, everybody. This is Mark the Prepper Guy, and today we're going to talk a little bit about nutrition and some of the basics. I've gone over this all before, but the conversation just seems to keep coming up and coming up and coming up on the simplest things, kind of like in politics. So I want to talk a little bit about biochemistry and how this whole thing works. And I think by explaining the basics, it makes diet and getting weight control under control a lot easier once you understand the principles of how it works. So stay tuned and we'll get right at that and we'll talk about food, our favorite thing to talk about.
Hump day, yeah!
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm the Prepper Guy and this is a Prepper Guy podcast. In a world that's always changing and full of fear and confusion, and especially when it comes to prepping, I am a minimalist and I like to be ready for anything that life may throw at us, whether it's bad, the end of the world, or just a flat tire on a deserted road.
So like I say, this will just be a basic conversation on my understanding after reading some books on biochemistry and how the whole process works once you swallow something that we call food, nutrition, our diet. So basically how it works in a nutshell, pretty much the food we eat, once it's consumed, the biochemistry plant within our body that processes everything we consume, whether it's soda or water or coffee, potato chips, baked potatoes, steak, bacon, dehydrated food, carbohydrates, whatever it is, it's the job of your chemical treatment plant within your body, what happens to that. And though it sounds really simple, a lot of people have a big problem with it. So if you can consider your mouth, the receiving department where all the semis pull up and drop off all these raw chemical products, inside the laboratory where your biochemistry, your gut, your enzymes, everything, that's inside the laboratory. So what goes in is then processed. Now the body isn't so picky and fanatical that it worries about everything that goes in, because we are a highly developed biochemical plant and therefore we can consume quite a bit of food products, and the body in its way of doing things will get energy out of it. We're not like a herbivore that has three stomachs, and like a cow or a horse or whatever that can sit there and chew on grass, and it pretty much only eats certain plants and then they're processed a certain way and they don't change their diet too much. They eat greens and cellulose based product because that's their digestive system only handles certain things. We have a digestive system that can handle quite a variety of things, but that doesn't make it okay because it will still deal with it. But the adverse effects over a long period of time, and I'm not talking about a crappy diet that you decide to follow online for a month or two. I'm talking about years and years and years. So if you look at a young kid, maybe junior high school, that's in sports, and you just go, wow, he can eat anything. You know, he eats, Snickers bars and potato chips and Pringles and that stuff they call lunch at school. And then he'll come home and raid your refrigerator and eat more garbage and then slam, three Mountain Dews and then go run for a while. And you're like, well, he's able to eat all this. Why can't I? Well, look at it kind of like a new car. When you buy a new sports car that is recommended that you put premium unleaded fuel in it, it will still run fine if you put in a lower grade octane fuel in it because it's a brand new car. But over a year or two in a car engine, it starts to feel the effects where it pings, it doesn't have the acceleration. Our bodies are the same way, but we don't start pinging and running poorly until maybe 20 years down the road, maybe 30. Because our chemical treatment plant is so high tech and modern that it can pretty much continue to, pretty much you eat dirt, it'll find a nutrient in it and keep you alive. But that's not really what we want to do for optimal health. So as it pertains to weight loss and diet and prepping and pretty much anything, we need to make sure we put the right food in it. If you have a vehicle that runs on diesel fuel, you wouldn't try to put unleaded in it because the truck or the car would just stop working. We're different. It'll run anything. but the body needs premium fuel to run at optimal performance. So what is premium fuel? Well, if you're talking to vegans or vegetarians, they will tell you that green leafy products and plant-based diet is what we were meant to eat because we don't have canine teeth. But then they don't consider the fact that we also don't have three stomachs. And that seems to be more of an indicator than the chew profile, because most omnivores have canines up front, but those are more designed for defense and not so much for chewing and processing the food. So they still have all of the molars in back. Your dog has a couple fangs up front, and that's for tearing into raw meat maybe, or breaking the skin to where they can get at it. But then when they're chewing, they're always chewing on their back molars. So that whole argument of not, you know, having, because we don't have canine teeth, is probably one of the most superficial and shallow arguments that they can give. If you go back 20,000 years in history, when the human animal became a agricultural-based life form, before that, we ate primarily meat and fat. It wasn't until 20,000 years ago that they started getting into farming and grains. And the reason they ate so much produce was because it was cheaper to feed the masses grains for carbohydrates and vegetables if they could grow it themselves than to give it to the livestock and then wait for that livestock to get to a certain size or age and then to kill it and eat it. So it was an economics thing more than anything. And if you really study the history of vegetarianism, I mean, it goes back to the Mayans when they used to sacrifice, you know, people and stuff like that in these older cultures, that the only people that could truly afford to eat meat back in those days were the kings or the high-ranking people in society that had pretty much determined that all of the land belonged to them, and therefore all the animals on the land belonged to them. So it became very valuable or a high priority item to the ruling class. And the plebs, you know, us lower life forms, in their opinion down here, you know, trying to survive, couldn't eat that because it belonged to the king. It was the king's deer. You don't eat the king's meat. So because of that rarity, it was only used for the masses and the plebs in a sacrificial form, to where they would allow you to kill a goat or whatever to have this sacrifice. And that's what gave it its religious context or connotations of being a vegetarian. But the reality is the human animal is an animal, and our biochemical treatment plant is designed to function in a certain way. And therefore, we haven't changed over 70 to 100,000 years, and our biochemical plant hasn't changed either. Otherwise, we would have evolved into plant eaters and would have three stomachs. So this is how vegetarians kind of get their higher ground, or the high ground, and say, well, it's religious, it's godlike to eat vegetables and fruit. Well, you know, they talk about the Garden of Eden. Well, I don't think it was a vegetable garden. It was just a garden, kind of like a park, because they didn't have parks back then. So they called it a garden. But there were animals in it. There were fruit trees. There were plants. You know, so who's to say that God only wanted them to eat lettuce and tomatoes and not the rabbits and anything else? So I think the vegetarian viewpoint, from pretty much every angle that I've studied it, really just doesn't hold water. And when it comes down to the pure science of what the label says on the gas tank, if we had a big warning label on it, it would say premium unleaded only, or diesel fuel only, propane only. So I dismissed their arguments as just folklore and myth and hyperbole, whatever you want to call it, because the warning label on our fuel tank has always read premium unleaded only, but it doesn't have the word only because we are very complex and state of the art, so to speak. And then there's you have the supermarket diet, which is really just not even worth looking into. I mean, anytime the federal government says this is an ideal diet for humans, you should not just walk away from it. You should run, because these bureaucrats don't have a clue. And they're basing it on what doctors of the day are saying. But there's a lot of research that goes back to the 1700s that just seems to be totally ignored by the FDA. So I don't even factor that in as a choice because they recommend it. It's a non-choice. It's just clutter. It's smoke that gets and clears my and distracts my view, basically, is all that is. So we have to look at our body biochemically to understand maybe what it wants, because no one's going to tell you without an agenda. They want to sell you some supplement. They want to sell you some 24-day diet thing, the Hollywood diet, the upside-down juice diet, whatever the hell it is. So you can't look to that for information because it becomes confusing. To me, it's simple enough. If you touch something that's hot, your body gets burned and you go, oh, that sucked, I won't do it again. You can talk to people all day long about how you can build up an immunity to heat and blah, 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 or wear these gloves. It's just like, I already got my answer. If I touch that red hot piece of metal, it's going to burn the hell out of me. We all know that if we stick our tongue on a frozen ice cube, it's going to stick to our tongue. We don't need to learn thermodynamics. We just need to do it once, and we got it figured out. So these are reactions caused by physics and science and nature and just the way it is. So we have to look at ourselves and go, what is it that our body is doing with this food? And if you type in research on essential, there's no such thing as an essential carbohydrate in any medical journal anywhere on this planet. If you type in diet, then you're going to get a whole bunch of other useless information. So you want to start studying from a point of view that looks at things without key words, search phrases, basically, that are going to bring up all this mindless BS. So if you type in diet, you're going to get a lot of useless information on just thousands of different diets. But if you type in biochemistry, you're going to get the scientific side of what we're looking for. And that's mainly because doctors and scientists don't play in the same sandbox together. So scientists will do research, they will publish a paper, and if it fits the agenda of big business, big pharma, big agro, then it might drip out to the masses over a 10, 20 year period. But the information is out there. You just have to focus your search and your information gathering. I'm not going to say to a higher level, but it has to be a more focused level. So we need to learn biochemistry. Now that sounds complicated, and if you were in high school and took any biology classes and stuff and fell asleep through them, you're going to be like me and go, oh God, I don't want to hear this crap. But if you're doing it for your health, whether you're trying to lose weight or determining what path you're going to take as a prepper, whether you're going to be a plant-based diet or a meat-based diet, it becomes a little more interesting, and then the information seems to stick to the synapses in the brain better because we have an interest in it. So it's not as dry a subject as it sounds, because when we were in high school, we were more worried about the cute guy or girl and not so much about what the teacher was talking about, because who cares? I mean, if I would have known how important math would be as I grew up, I might have paid attention. But back then, I really didn't care if algebra one day would save my life, because I was immortal back then. What do you mean I'm going to die? So we're going to get into to some of the basic biochemistry, because when you really break it down, it's really a simple process. It's food in, energy is consumed and used through the theory of thermodynamics, basically, and then the waste product, it goes out the other end. It goes out you got shipping and receiving and everything in between. So we won't get gross about it, but really what comes out the other end is everything that didn't get used. So, I mean, it kind of is an indicator that it's only using certain parts of what you're consuming, and the body needs chemicals, it needs enzymes, it needs fatty acids, it needs minerals and nutrients, and then it does its stuff with it, and that's all very boring and kind of gag me with a spoon type information. So we're going to try to make it a little less dry. So there's certain processes that go on in the body, and one of them starts with consuming food, and you chew it up and then you swallow it. If you take a salty Pringles potato chip or a salt and vinegar flavored one, it would be hard to imagine that sour thing that made you pucker up actually, the minute it gets past your taste buds, the body turns it into what it really is, which is sugar. So it's kind of weird, because how can something so bitter be nothing but sugar? How can a baked potato, not a small one, but like you would get, you know, maybe with a steak, you know, that's a pretty good size, medium, almost large baked potato, has over a cup of sugar in it. So you're eating a potato and you're like, oh, this is good for me. I just ate a baked potato. I even ate the skin. Wow, whoop-de-doo, because it was turned into sugar. Just like if you were to ferment it and make vodka out of it, the process to make alcohol requires sugar. That's what the yeast breaks down and turns into alcohol. So once it gets past your taste buds, a whole other thing happens to it, and it becomes what it really, really is. So they can call it whatever they want. They can call it salty, you know, sour, ultra sour gummy bears. The minute you swallow it, it becomes what it is in a chemical process, and it becomes sugar. It becomes something else, but that's what it does. So we're going to try to simplify it down to where it is so easy that even a dummy like me can understand it, because I've read 3 or 4 books on diet and the ultimate diet secrets and the glycation factor by Gregory Ellis. And I've absorbed all this information when I was changing my diet. And even though I read those books and some of them I had to reread 4 and 5 times, it, as in all big, large books, it boils down to some very key focused points. And that's the meat of it. That's the reality of all that you need to get out of it. And then if you want to learn more, then you read the book again. But I was going for, what does my body do with this food that I eat? And there's only a few mechanisms that trigger one way or the other that cause fat to build up on your body, which causes higher levels of insulin, which causes inflammation, cardiovascular disease. There's only a few processes. When that food goes in your belly, yeah, it only has one more route, and that's to go through your intestine and then out the bottom. But there's only a few triggers that send it here or send it there that do certain things to it that either gives you energy and hormone development and muscle development, or it goes the other way and it turns it into body fat. I'm talking about the fat that's rolling over your belt buckle, that kind of body fat. And there's only a few processes that affect which way that goes. So we're going to talk about those. So stick around and we'll get into some meat and potatoes of it, basically.
Preppers should always be prepared, and the Prepper Guy can help you find the supplies you need without having to get lost in a big box store or on a website designed to sell you everything else. Our online store offers a focused shopping experience, making it easy to zoom in to find what you need. Because we affiliate with Amazon to deliver our goods around the world, you'll always find the best values too. Find what you need at doomsdaydepot.com. Remember, that's Doomsday with a Z, where you can zoom in to find what you need, and learn more at prepperguy.com too.
So like I said, I'm going to keep this simple for even a guy like me. And you all know that I don't like notes and outlines because they're boring. When I switched my diet, the reason I started looking into it and read those books was mainly because I'm 61 going on 62. And I was looking into longevity other than becoming a vampire and how I could live longer or at least have a better quality of life as I get older, because I realized I was no longer immortal. So I read the glycation factor, which gets into a process in the human body that really doesn't need to be discussed in this. It's just one of the outcomes of poor diet. And when you eat a lot of carbs, what that does is a carbohydrate turns into blood sugar or glucose, and it doesn't care where it gets that sugar from. When it enters your bloodstream, it's called blood sugar. Doesn't care if it comes from all natural organically grown fruit or a baked potato or a bag of potato chips. It is all a carbohydrate, and therefore it turns into sugar, and that goes into your bloodstream. And what happens when your blood sugar levels get too high is there's a basically one of those triggers I was talking about that flips a switch. And what we're going to do is look at that like if you have a generator, like a multi-fuel generator at your home, you can either turn it to running on gas, But when you flip the switch to run on propane, it's not running on gas anymore. It's running on propane, and it doesn't do both at the same time. So when your insulin level gets too high, because that's what insulin does in the body, insulin's primary purpose is to clear the blood of sugar. That's all it does. So when you get too much sugar in your blood from everything you're eating, which is carbohydrates and fruits, doesn't matter where it comes from, it's sugar. Remember, you could just eat sugar cubes or you can eat an apple. You're going to get the same amount of blood sugar and your insulin levels will go up. What happens to that switch once your insulin level gets too high? It flips over and it starts trying to burn that blood and sugar as an energy source to get rid of it, because it just doesn't leak out of your pores as blood, because that would be kind of gross. So it tries to burn it. Now, this is really simplified because there's all kinds of medical terms for this process. But because it's burning that to try to get rid of the sugar, it is no longer burning any fat that you may have ate with that sugar. So if you eat a baked potato and it raises your insulin levels too high because of the sugar in that baked potato, then all of that fat that you ate in your steak cannot be burned as energy. So therefore, all the body can do with it while it's doing its other thing, running on sugar or propane, it can't use that fat that's in there. Well, the body is not going to just sit there and go, well, we'll save this for tomorrow, because then you'd have a bunch of gross fermented meat in your stomach, basically. So it runs it through its system. It went in shipping. It runs through the plant. There's no back orders. There's no holdup. If it can't use that, instead of putting it out the other end, it converts that into body fat. And that's when people have a high body fat content, or BMI, is because they have more fat on their body than they need, which is unhealthy. So when you understand this little switch, all of a sudden diet becomes quite easy to understand. Now, that switch will trigger at a certain UU level for insulin, how they measure it, which I so don't care about all them numbers. But that is usually triggered at around about 100 grams of carbohydrates in a day. So if you eat over 100 grams for the whole day while your body's running through all this processes, it will flip that switch, and that switch will not flip back to running on premium unleaded again until 3 or 4 hours. I thought originally that it was longer than that, but I have since then reread those parts, and it's usually about 4 hours for the average person. And we're all pretty much average people. I know some of you are special just like everyone else, but I mean, the average biochemical plant that was installed from the factory is about 4 hours. So it won't flip back to burning fat. So let's look at it on a weight loss kind of paradigm here. If you get up in the morning and you eat, I don't care if you eat pancakes or a whole grain muffin or a bagel or a bag of potato chips, it's all the same. If you get over 100 grams of carbs, which a lot of the bakery items that you might eat for breakfast, like pancakes and toast, even if you're eating some eggs, it doesn't care, because it's counting, that little clicker is counting your carbs. Let's say that you eat 100 grams of carbs for breakfast. Now all of a sudden that switch flips, and all of the good food you put in there, maybe with you, like your bacon and your eggs, and even if you had cream in your coffee, all of that can no longer be burned, and it has to become a byproduct because your factory is busy burning blood sugar, so it's not burning fat. So it just takes all that extra calories that were in the form of fat and eggs and protein, and it just goes, well, we'll just stick this on the body. So I've said before, it's kind of like picture a crew plastering your house. And every time you eat wrong, they just put another layer of plaster on your house. But it's under your skin, so you don't see it like stucco. But you still have this now building up, building up, and building up. Well, if it's only a half of 1%, maybe, it's going to take 20 or 30 years, unless you're just really eating a terrible diet. But people have gained weight within months or years, and it's accumulative. But then all of a sudden they look in the mirror and go, what the hell happened? So you have to look at every meal, because every meal will affect you. So you've eaten 100 grams of carbs for breakfast and you didn't know it, but your calorie count is still under what you want to eat for the day. Let's say you want to eat 2,000 calories in a day because, you know, you did some measurement and some weighing, and that's about what you should be eating. Well, if your breakfast calories was mostly carbohydrates, then you're getting less energy out of those calories because fat has twice the calories as carbohydrates. So 4 hours might be, if you eat an early breakfast and lunch is going to come at noon, that might be 5 or 6 hours if you're busy or something, or you hold off on eating lunch, then that switch is flipped and you're okay. But because of the calories that you ate, the energy you got from that breakfast is so bad of a fuel source, it wasn't premium unleaded, it was actually E85 or worse. So around 10 o'clock, you're going to be starving to death. And you're going to go, God, I just ate breakfast 2 hours ago and I'm starving. Well, that's because you put bad gas in there and you don't get the miles per gallon out of E85, let's say, as you would out of premium unleaded. So now you eat some more food. Well, if you're eating the normal human supermarket diet or whatever you've bought into, you might eat a salad for a snack, which has no calories in it. So you're getting nothing out of it. You probably don't put fat dressing on it, like, you know, real vinegar and oil. You're putting low fat on it. So you're once again, you're putting fuel in your fuel tank, but this time, instead of it even being E85, it's water. You're just filling your tank with water. You're not, you know, starving now because you've got bulk in there. You might as well chew up a sponge and stuff it in there because you're going to get nothing out of it. But if you were to eat, I don't know, some real high fat thing that was really good for you if you were into high fat, your body still cannot process it because that switch is still flipped. So it's still burning propane. It's not burning premium. So you eat probably what most people do. You're not going to eat a salad. You're going to grab some kind of snack. Like maybe now you'll eat a bran muffin, or you'll eat a bag of potato chips, some pretzels, which are nothing but carbohydrates if you read the label. So now you've just taken that switch and your insulin levels and everything and ran it back up. And now it's going to be on longer. It's going to be on 3 or 4 more hours because it has to burn all that sugar in the blood. Because sugar in the blood is extremely bad for you, and it causes glycated proteins. It causes so much bad stuff for you. So now, when it gets to be in lunch, your switch is still flipped. So let's say you do something really novel for lunch, and you go to a really good burger joint that you like, and you have just the biggest burger animal style, and you woof that down. Your chemical treatment plant is still burning sugar. So now all of that good fat and protein that you just consumed cannot be digested and burned as energy. So once again, the plasterers show up and put another layer of plaster on your body. So you see how it becomes accumulative even over a day. Now your calorie count is good because that hamburger had a lot of calories in it, but you're not going to get any energy out of it because it cannot digest it and consume it for energy because your body is still burning off all that sugar. So once again, you're going to not feel the feeling of satiation. You might be stuffed for about an hour, but when your muscles start crying out for fuel, there won't be any because it can't use what you gave it because you flipped that switch off already. So you screwed yourself again. So at 2 o'clock, you go, God, I need to eat something. I'm just, you know, I'm feeling really bad. I must have low blood sugar or whatever BS medical folklore that you heard on YouTube or something. So you eat a candy bar or something. Now you just flip that switch on again, even if it didn't come off. It's now just reset for another 4 hours because you've just put more sugar in your blood. So basically how this happens at the end of the day, you might have consumed your 2,000 calories, but you're starving. You have no energy, even if you're bloated because you ate so much stuff. There's no energy. You basically kept putting stuff in your gas tank that it could not use. So the body just set that aside, but it doesn't have a reserve tank. So it just plastered it on your body. So you can't sit there and go, well, I burned 2,000 calories. So now I'm going to sit down at the end of the day and eat 2,000 calories, because that's like saying, I'll buy gas once I get to where I'm going. No, you have to buy gas before you start the vehicle, or you're not getting there. But the body will somehow magically, if you need 1,000 calories to make it through the day, it will burn it from everywhere it can because it'll use that blood sugar energy and then it'll eat your muscles. It'll get fat and ketones from your kidneys. It'll take it from wherever it needs it. But don't think to yourself that at the end of the day, you're going to sit down and eat a big meal and replenish all that because that's not how it works. You're already out of gas. And putting gas in your car once you get to your destination will not do any good for you because you ran out of gas before you left your driveway. So you have to kind of look at it simplistically that way. Now, that is the main process of the human body. It's just this switch that's either on or off, and it's either burning sugar and carbohydrates for energy, which is that myth of carb loading and all that happy crap, or it's burning fat. Now, my premise with eating a high fat diet doesn't really have to do with a mountain of science, even though it's out there. It has to do with the way I look at things. If you go back past that 20,000 year mark when we became agricultural based, you go back 60,000 years to the, or 100,000 or 1,000,000 years to the Paleolithic man or whatever you believe in. Once you go past that agricultural carb-loading mentality and look at the human animal, his biochemical treatment plant was the same as it is today. We haven't developed three stomachs, have we? Unless I missed it. So we haven't evolved into something that can eat something different. So like I always say, if you look at a bird species or an animal species that was around since the beginning of time, maybe a lion or whatever, a whale or dolphins or birds, they pretty much eat the same diet that they were engineered to eat 1,000,000 years ago, 100,000 years ago. And so are we. So therefore, to me, the Paleolithic man ate meat because that was pretty much all there was. And so why wouldn't I? It doesn't make sense to me because I am still a species of animal that has always eaten meat, and therefore we should always eat meat. We have the enzymes to break down meat, and they are naturally occurring. If you're a vegetarian for 30 years and you switch to becoming a meat eater, you're going to go through a lull of 10, 15 days of low energy, but eventually your body will produce that enzyme to break it down and start running right, and it will do it automatically. But if you've been a meat eater your whole life and you switch to vegetarianism, you must immediately go down to GNC and buy an enzyme to break down everything that is in that cellulose-based product before you'll get anything out of it. And you won't go through a 10-day lull or a 15-day lull. You will never, ever produce that enzyme naturally to break down that food source. You will always have to take that enzyme. Well, that to me is a giant red flag that says, if I eat this diet, my body has all the enzymes, and if it doesn't, it will create them. And if I eat this other diet, I have to be on some pill the rest of my life. Well, then that's not natural, is it? So therefore, why bother with it? Because it's not natural. So I look at it that way, and maybe I'm wrong. I really don't know or care because I've been eating a high fat, low carb diet for the last year and a half. I've lost weight. I didn't want to lose weight because I'm a small guy, but I have lost body fat with that. I have, if not more energy than most of the younger people in the family that are in their 30s. I can work circles around them all day long, eating nothing but jerky and bacon and some eggs, and I'm fine. I don't run on empty because I'm hungry because I ate a stupid bag of chips that didn't do nothing for me. If I'm going to eat a snack, I actually like pork rinds and I wish they were fried in lard, but they're baked. If you read the ingredients, they're nothing but fat and protein, and there's no carbohydrates. There's no fiber. There's no sugar in them. So when people go, I can't believe you eat those things. They're nothing but baked pigskin fat. And it's like, yeah, it is great. And they crunch really good and they got a really good chew profile. So it's the ultimate perfect snack. And it's a lot cheaper than a bag of beef jerky because the reality is the body doesn't care if you're eating fat that's been baked or fried and is all crunchy and good for you. and tastes good, or if you're eating a steak, it derives the natural elements and nutrients out of it that it needs, and it doesn't care what form it comes in as long as it comes in protein and fat. So I look at eating as buying gasoline in my car. I don't need all this fluff on my plate. I need a steak. If I'm eating during the day and I sit there and eat a whole bag of jerky over the day, I don't miss having a plate with all this green, pretty leafy stuff on it because I don't need it. It's add-ons, it's opt-ins, it's things that I don't need. So it simplifies my diet, but I'm a simple guy. Now, a lot of my friends ask me, how do I get by without eating pasta? Because I love pasta. Here's a simple thing for you to keep in mind. How many of you had really bad habits when you were growing up that you quit doing because you found out they were just bad for you? I don't care if it was drinking until you blacked out, or doing drugs, or smoking pot, whatever it was that was bad for you. Eventually, you got to a place in your life and said, I'm going to quit doing this because I don't like how I feel. I don't like what it does to me. I don't like the person I become, whatever it is. And you quit doing it. Well, I've quit eating pasta because I know it's not good for me. But I'm 62 almost, and I don't want to end up with more cardiovascular problems and cataracts and heart problems and glycated proteins than I've already accumulated through my life of being an idiot. So that was my motivating factor. It's just like I have product A, B, and C, and if I eat product A, it's good for me, and B and C taste really good, but they're not good for me. I can pretty much just wipe them off the table and not even feel bad about it, but that's me. You may need to have some stronger way of canceling that out and stopping eating it. So weight loss is actually extremely easy. If you cut your calories, you will lose weight because your body will just consume itself. You can cut your calories by eating a higher fat, higher protein diet, which has twice the calories in it, but you get more energy out of it. So the calories are important, kind of like Atkins used to say, calories don't count. Well, yes, they do. But what's important is the energy you derive from those calories. So if you're getting more energy out of a piece of jerky than a handful of potato chips, I will eat the jerky because I get the same calories, maybe, and therefore I can lower my calorie for the day and yet still have the energy to not burn the rest of my body up, starving myself to death. So you have to look at it as, if I get control of what I put in my diet and what I eat, and I get the maximum amount of energy out of that, and yet am able to keep my calories at where I want them for my target weight that I want to lose, then you will feel better. You'll have that feeling of cessation all day long, and you won't be climbing the walls going, God, I'm hungry, and everyone looking at you, it's like you just ate your bag of potato chips and mine too. How can you still be hungry? Well, you're not hungry because your stomach is empty. Your muscles are crying for energy, and they're getting such bad energy that you're lethargic, your gut is in a mess, you don't have hormone development, muscle development, all of these triggers that happen on different levels that we're not talking about. So if you can pick a weight that you want to get down to, and before I even changed the amount of calories I was consuming in a day, I would change the type of food that I ate to get those calories. So then if you're eating, trust me, if you're eating steak and meat and drinking, heavy whipping cream with your milk and not drinking 2% milk and everything you're doing is high fat, you will not be able to consume that many calories in a day because you will be stuffed. Your body will go, oh, we're good. The tank is full. And if you overeat, then you'll still get fat because overeating creates fat no matter what diet you're on. But you will find that if you have a target calorie of, say, 1,800 calories a day so you can lose weight, you can eat 1,800 calories by lunch if you're eating a high-carb diet. If you're eating a high-fat diet, 1,800 calories is pretty hard to basically choke down every day because it gives you so much energy that your body won't be crying out for that extra food because your fuel tank isn't flashing saying we're on empty. And then you just do like you're driving. You don't even notice that you need to stop at the gas station because when people go, are you hungry yet? And you're like, no, not really. Even though you haven't eaten for hours, your body is still burning the energy that you gave it. and you're getting twice the miles per gallon out of it, so you can drive right past those gas stations on your long trip at the end of the day and not have to stop as many times. Where if you're stopping and putting bad gas in, you're going to have to stop at every gas station along the road until you get home. Basically, we're calling the road your day and gas stations is your meals. You can sidestep that. So to lose weight, you must go to a high-fat diet. There is so much science out there, not medical folklore, not doctors, not nutritionists talking and peddling products and Hollywood diets and all this dopey stuff. There's science out there that will tell you when you eat product A, this is what the body does with it. Because you can eat a plant and you can sit there and go, but I ate a plant. It's like, yes, but it was a poisonous plant and now you're going to die. So there are effects of the things you eat. And so therefore your body cares even if you don't. So if you're eating high fat, fat is a bad word. And when people, you know, call you fat or whatever it is, we take that as a negative. But fat is what is in meat, and that is the gasoline your engine is crying for. It's not the bad fat that's hanging on your body. It's the good fat that your body requires. So when you hear the word fat, fat-free, and all this dopey crap, it's talking about energy-free. You eat fat-free dressing, you're basically getting no energy out of it, and you're putting it on a salad that has no calories and no energy in it, unless it's got like a chef salad and it's got hard-boiled eggs and meat in it. You're getting nothing out of it. You might as well dry up some flavored paper and then eat it, because that's all it is. So people that eat salads all the time and go, I can't lose weight. Of course you can't, because you ate a salad that gave you no energy and then you snuck off and cheated and had a Snickers bar, because your body has to have fuel. So stop starving it to death. Change the fuel you're putting into it. Give it a week. I mean, it's not illegal to eat a high-fat, low-carb diet for a week. You can continue to eat your carbs if you must, because there is that 10-15-day lull in there. But just eating all of your meals, having more of the calories being in high-fat, you will notice weight loss sticking with the same diet. Once you get past that, and you do like I did, you will notice pounds just drop off of you. I mean, I'm a thin guy. I didn't need to lose 20, 30 pounds, but I did, and I didn't even try. And while I was losing that weight, I was trying to consume over 2,200 calories a day based on my lifestyle, which was extra because I wanted to gain weight. I couldn't do it. I couldn't even eat that many calories in a day because my body was like, I'm good. Don't put any more in there. And you have a really good indicator in your body system that if your muscles aren't crying for energy, don't give it any. And your stomach won't be sending you signals saying, put something in this empty hole here because we need something. Your stomach doesn't care about how full it is. It's the muscles crying for energy, for fuel that causes you to eat. So you can use that as a trigger. So if you're not feeling hungry, then don't eat. And I guarantee you, if you're eating a high-fat diet, you will not be hungry as often as you are when you're eating a high-carb diet. And this is all based on science. It's been measured in laboratory tests with mice and dogs and everything. Mush dogs have been put on these diets and have 100 times more energy and stamina than dogs that are on carbohydrate, grain, you know, dog food. So it's out there. But if you type in a search, lose weight diet, you're going to find a million pages in Google of this dopey diet and that dopey diet. You must filter your search down to science. And then you will see. And it's that easy. I'm sorry to say, it's not that complicated. I would like to write some diet book and make a lot of money, but it's really simple. Look at the gas tank and what does it say? Premium unleaded. Just put premium in it and quit worrying about it. And then if you get your calories down, which is kind of natural, because if you're eating high fat, once you're out of that slump and getting, you know, basically going cold turkey from carbs, you will be fine and you won't be hungry. That's how people that you'll look at them and it seems like they don't even eat all day and yet they're not hungry. Probably if you studied their diet, they're eating more high fat than they even know, because most people seem to not know this stuff. Now, I'm going to wrap this up a little bit and put it into prepping, because we are preppers, even though health and nutrition is for everyone. The reason as a prepper I eat this diet is because if you look at your food storage in your pantry, it is full of cellulose-based products, which are plants, and you're not designed to break them down. I don't care what anyone has told you. Read the science. And if you're eating dehydrated carbohydrates like pasta meals and all this, there's nothing in it except those little pieces of meat they throw in there once in a while to make you happy. So you're getting your calories. But remember, there's calories in a donut and there's calories in a steak. And all dehydrated meals are basically, you might as well be eating donuts and candy bars. There's no difference between a granola bar and a Snickers bar. It's all sugar when you digest it. The only problem with granola bars is they're high in fiber, which I'll talk about that in another one. But fiber, when it digests in the body, it has to ferment, which causes inflammation. I've gone a year and a half not eating fiber at all, and I don't have all of those problems they tell you get. In fact, my IBS went away, and my stomach doesn't get all upset. And I don't have inflammation, which causes joint pain. But I'll try to do a podcast on that, because it's quite important. So as far as a prepper goes, why would I want to store a year's supply of dehydrated foods that I will not eat? Because when I'm bugging out, as long as I have something to hunt and snare and fish with, all my food is out there. Now, granted, a lot of people in a bug out situation will go to the hills and kill most of the game. That's fine, because I will eat jackrabbit and coyote and javelina. I will eat bobcats, and I don't care what it is. If it's red meat, I will eat it. So while they're out hunting deer and cottontail and elk, I'll be killing off all of the predators and eating them, because next year, then I'll have more wildlife. Because if you want to increase the population of any animal species, start killing it off and watch its production of babies double. I think Ted Nugent even says that, and he's like the man. So from a prepper's point of view, I still have some MREs. I do have some Mountain House meals. And that way, if I have to bug out in a hurry, I might not have time to hunt or want to make the noise hunting or make a fire for cooking for the first 2 or 3 days while I'm going to my hiding place. So yes, I will eat MREs, power bars, whatever it takes so I can cold camp and I don't need a fire and I don't need to be shooting and I don't need to be wasting my time hunting. I can get to my safe place and then I can start worrying about it. So I do have that stuff. I would rather not eat it. And on my bug out route, if I find wild critters running around, I'm going to snare them, shoot them with my wrist sling bow, or bust a cap in them with my .22 and a silencer. Either way, what I'm trying to do is not draw attention to myself. And that's the only reason I have that. But I only need 3 or 4 days of it. Now, you can eat pemmican, jerky. Those are good things to put in your bug out bag. Bags of jerky, like the big $15 bag of jerky, that's a whole day's meals. Maybe 2 days if you're just one person. Well, that's $7-$8 a serving, which is the same as one Mountain House meal. But that bag of jerky will last me all day as far as energy, muscle energy, and fuel, than if I ate 3 Mountain House meals that were full of carbohydrates. So it's actually cheaper. So that's why I prep that way. I'm not telling anyone else how to prep. If you want to have a year's supply of dehydrated Mountain House wise food, go for it. That's totally cool. But my plan is to bug out and retreat and fall back for a week or 2 or 3 until all the craziness settles down. And then, yes, I do plan on coming back and fighting for my country, rebuilding America, and building my community back together. But there's that 3-week window that I will not be around, because as long as the police are trying to keep rule of law, if I have to shoot somebody in self-defense, I might end up in jail because they don't have time to sort this crap out because everything's going crazy. And I don't want to be in jail during the apocalypse. So I'm going to remove myself from that situation for 1 or 2 or 3 weeks until I see things have calmed down. And then I'll come back because I believe in rebuilding my community and fighting for what's mine. But I don't want to cause the police undue stress and have to arrest my ass. So I'm not planning on bugging out forever. But even if I had a retreat, if I had the money for a big bunker somewhere underground, I'm still not going to be gardening and eating that food. I will always be a meat diet kind of guy. And we talked about that in the steps of getting into prepping and making your decisions when you're climbing those steps of prepping, whether you're going to go over to the right and step up, or if you're going to go over to the left and step up. To the right is meat diet, to the left is plant-based diet and grains. You make that decision, but you have to make a decision. And no matter which way you go up, which side you take, there's skills you have to learn for both. I am will always be on the side of a meat eater caveman diet because I don't have to get a bunch of land to grow food. I don't have to wait 90 days for my tomato to grow before I can eat it. I will just shoot a squirrel, eat a snake, whatever, because that's me. So you can make your own decisions as far as prepping. And that's why this is pertains to prepping. But the reality is, if you truly want to lose weight and get your health back and get all your hormones back in balance, get your blood work and your cholesterol straightened out, if you want to get your diabetes under control and you're not so far gone that you're about to die, blood sugar is the problem. And therefore, I don't understand diabetes, and maybe I'll read up on that because they say, well, this will, you know, my blood sugar's too low. I need to eat a candy bar. In a perfect state of the human body chemistry, you would have no blood sugar ever. And I think that comes from the fact that they think you need carbohydrates to run your body because they bought into that myth. And even diabetes researchers believe that your blood sugar will always have to be at a certain level because you're always going to be eating these damn carbs. But they're not natural. They're just not. You look up the essential things that a body needs to survive, even in today's world, and there is no essential carbohydrate. Hasn't existed, never will. At least not in science. It might exist in science fiction with your nutritionist and your physical trainer and all this happy crap, but more and more endurance athletes are switching to a high-fat diet. As the word gets out, people are learning that this is the way these tribes live in countries to where they don't use guns and arrows to hunt their meat. They chase it down. And these guys, will all they eat is meat, and they will run for hours, days, and weeks until they chase that animal down. So endurance athletes are looking at that going, wait a minute, these guys run for days without, you know, crashing. How do they do it? So you will see it's a perfect diet. I'm not trying to sell you on it, but I just wanted to say, as far as diet and weight loss, it's simple. I hope I kind of broke it down for you. There's only one switch you have to worry about, and that's the one that determines what your body is running on. It's either running on blood sugar, trying to get that out, and it's burning it through the theory of thermodynamics, or it's burning fat. And it cannot do both at one time. And there's all kinds of scientific terms about how these chemicals and these enzymes trigger this and that. But the bottom line is the switch gets flipped. They just don't call it a switch, but it gets flipped for all of these scientific reasons. And they all boil down to once your insulin level gets too high, the body must clear its sugar, the blood sugar out of the blood. That's just a given, and it will do it no matter what you're doing during that time. And so stop making it flip over to that bad gas. Keep it flipped over to the good gas, and you will lose weight. You will be healthy, and then you can start tweaking your diet and losing weight and getting down. You know, I'm down to less than 12% body fat. Yes, am I kind of skinny? Yeah. Does it piss me off? Yes. But that's the way I was born. I was a skinny kid in high school in wrestling class. So I guess that's the way I am. I can now eat more meat and fat and exercise a lot if I want to build muscle mass, but I'm not that guy. The work I do requires the muscles I have, and therefore I can build and do construction all day long. When I look in the mirror, would I like to look more buff? Sure, I would. But I still got a six pack and I'm really happy with that. So we are who we are, and I'm the skinny little prepper guy, but still a good shot. So don't give me a hard time about it. And I think you will be able to fine tune your diet once you learn the basic dynamics of how it works. And then you can get to the level body fat that you want, the muscle building that you want. But diet and exercise are completely different worlds. They have nothing to do with each other. If you want to exercise, exercise. If you want to eat a good diet, eat a good diet. The two don't mix unless you want them to, but they don't have to. Good diet's good diet, no matter if you exercise or work in an office. You will not get fat and flabby working in an office if you're eating a high-fat diet. I guarantee it. So there you have it. Hopefully I didn't ramble too badly. Hope you enjoy it.
Well, I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to this show. I hope I brought something to the table for you all. As always, go to prepperguy.com, read the show notes, and run over to YouTube. Check out my channel every once in a while. I'll have a video out there, and sometimes I do the whole episode as a video. And then also, for all your prepper needs, go to doomsdaydepot.com. That's doomsdaydepot.com for any end-of-the-world supplies you may need. Other than that, I hope you have a great week, and we will talk to you later. As always, enjoy the apocalypse.